Our brother Russell Goodman will be conducting our second service at 2 p.m. at Pacific Hills Manor this afternoon, and everyone is invited to participate in that service. Please consult your bulletin for other activities this afternoon. I'd like to make a note that the first Sunday of August, Pastor will begin a study in the book of Ecclesiastes in the discipleship class. In our 5 p.m. evening worship service, Pastor Otero will continue the series on Christ in the Old Testament this afternoon, and he will be speaking today on the Lord Jesus Christ, the weeping prophet from the books of Jeremiah and Lamentations. We will also show a short film on the ministry of Gideon's International at that service. At our Wednesday evening prayer service, Pastor Otero will be leading our study on the theology of Bible doctrine, continuing in the topic on the attributes of God. Our scripture reading for today, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 33, verses 1 and 2. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Now we will be singing the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship now with hymn number 36, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Continue our worship with hymn number 261, Trust and Obey.
Yeah.
now as we sing hymn number 525, A Christian Home.
Prayer this morning. I want to greet you in the name of Pastor Van Dyken. I talked to him. He's in a great shape. He started driving in town, and precisely maybe 1 or 2 months from now, he will visit with us for sure on our anniversary day. And I'm so glad that our old pastor is getting in good shape. And the second time around in heart surgery, I guess, is stronger than the first. And when you are 82 or 83, it makes a difference. But we have a great man, a solid man in the Word of God, and I'm his friend. And I'm so proud to be his friend, to have a man like this that you can look up. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus, our High Priest, into the very throne of grace. And this morning, as a church body, we rely upon thy blessings. And we believe thy promise that where two or three are gathered together, you are in their midst. And therefore, Father, we fellowship with you and fellowship with one another. Father, we are grateful that together with the salvation that you bestow upon our life, you gave us the responsibility to proclaim this gospel, to unfold the manna from heaven, the word of God, so the people may be fed and the people may go and lead others into the kingdom of God. We are so grateful that salvation is not dependable upon us, but upon your grace and upon your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you have power to break stones. That's our heart. Thank you, Father, that one day you revealed to us Jesus Christ and placed him within our heart. Father, we pray for not only ourselves, but for our missionaries around the world. We pray for Fred and Carol Lewis, ready to go in 2 or 3 weeks into Siberia, Russia, to teach nationals the Word of God so that in turn they can teach others. We pray for Carol and Ruth Knotts, who are in America and who are visiting churches after 16 long years of work in Huasca, Spain, and soon they will return back into Sevilla, Spain. But Eusebio and Maritza Perez, and we are glad for the news that the Aria and Benal Madena have given them the opportunity to have a place where to build the new church. Thank you, Lord. We pray that the city will grant to them the opportunity to buy land, and was granted. Thank you, Father, for your power in that beautiful city in the Mediterranean area. Lord, thank you for the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, a light, a place of peace in the midst of trouble. For Ruben and Irene Zachert, they developed their ministry in Lodi, California. For the Sport Association in San Jose, California. For Martha Ferretti, as she works with the drug addicts in Argentina. And for Daniel Lacey, as even today, at this hour, maybe he through with the race in Washington, Father, and for the coming week, for the other race, and we pray that you bless him and give him direction as he prays and assist those cars, racers, in such a way that they may know that there is a Savior and there is a God. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have, and not only preach right here at church in Bethel Baptist Church in the city of Morgan Hill, but for the airways, for KKNC, for KKXX, and Father also, and for the tape ministry and the CD ministry, and for the internet across the world. We thank you, Lord, that this is a ministry that you brought to us, and now we can bring the gospel and the news of Christ to thousands of people. Thank you, Lord, for giving us not only the opportunity to serve, but you are the one who are expanding our limits and giving us new boundaries as we use the technology of today. Thank you, Father. And Father, also, I want to thank you for the provision of your people. Always, they are ready to provide, ready to give, so that the ministry can go. So bless the offering and bless the giver in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated, please.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the second book of Moses called Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 12. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 48. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 12. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you that we can come before you again in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to worship you and bring our prayers to you. We thank you that you have revealed yourself in your word, the Bible, so that we may know you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are grateful to know and practice the truths in the Bible, that we may know how we should live and how you have come to adopt us into your family. We thank you for the blessings of our earthly families and pray for those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that through him they may come to a saving knowledge of your great salvation. We pray for your servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero. We ask that you would bless his studies and his teaching as he comes now to expose your word. We ask that you would give us ears of understanding that is reflected in the conduct of our daily lives. We pray for those listening here and on the radio and internet who remain in unbelief, that they may believe the gospel and be saved. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated.
Once again, we did have the privilege to hear from one of our young people. It is a joy to see them growing in the Lord, and some of them, they have the ability to play instruments, and Greg Tomlinson gave us the blessing today as he played, and so we are thankful to God for that, and those who listen also, we are grateful. The young people are no guests in our church. They are the family of God, and we want to use them. That's a matter how old they are. They are our children, and the children are in our church service because I want to see the families, and we're going to talk about it today. And I'm so glad that from the first time, 20 years ago, when we started our church, we settled that the family will sit together in our service. And the little children will learn quickly. They make a little noise. There is a counseling room over there where the parents counsel them and they bring it back. And everything is good. But I have been commended by the kindness and how the young people behave in the church. And I tell everybody, they are little people. They are little people. All right, we started the studies of the Ten Commandments, which are found in Exodus chapter 20. Our brother have read them for us. Just to refresh your mind, the first commandment have to do with God himself. Remember, and that was verse 2 and 3. Who is God? And we studied that name, Jehovah. Who is God? The second commandment has to do with the worship to this one God. And that was verses 4 and verse 5. And God wants to be worshipped clearly, without interference, eye to eye with you. The third commandment has to do with God's character symbolized in his name. You should not take the name of God in vain. And we went through several names of God who characterize his splendor and his glory and his power. Now, the fourth commandment deals with eternal salvation, symbolized by the separation of one day of the week dedicated not to rest, but to the work of worshiping God on his day. Now we come to the fifth commandment that God gave us. And to me, verse 12 is God's formula for the preservation of our homes. God's formula for the preservation of our home. And we're going to see it in this fashion. We're going to look first the meaning of the commandment. Then we're going to look the interpretation of this commandment. And then we're going to see the practice of the commandment. The meaning, what does the Bible say? The interpretation, what the Bible really means to us. And then the practice, how you and I can fulfill this commandment in our life. Let's talk about what is the meaning of this commandment, verse 12. I'm going to read it again for you. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The first four commandment has to do with my relationship to God, as you know this. First, who is your God? Then how to worship that God, what his character really is, and how not to mess around with God and play around with God, because God is very serious. And I remember share with you that there are some people that make jokes about the Bible, the names of the Bible. That should be eradicated from your mind and from your heart. God is a very serious thing. It's not something to take very lightly. And so the first four commandments focus on God. And now the other six focus on society. And as a former psychologist, I really want to know how the God handles society. What would be the first words that God would say to society so that we can live a healthy life? And you know this here, honor thy father and thy mother. The first thing that God said to society is family. When God wants to establish a healthy society, a powerful society, he starts with the family. Do you notice that? It's very serious. We in America are too sophisticated and want to philosophically create all kinds of rules and regulations and how to improve our society. There is no better than the one God already gave us. We start with the family. We start with the family. So this commandment makes us to think that the root of our society is not the race we are born in, nor the nation, nor the color of our skin, but the family. The family. For God, the family is very, very important. He said, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land. Honor that father and your mother. Well, let's look in the Bible to see that word honor. How God looks to that word honor. What does he mean when he said, honor thy father and thy mother? The first scripture I like to compare that word with is Leviticus 19 in verse 3, page 78, if you have the Bible that is in the pew, or if you are listening and happen to have our own Bible because you requested our own Bible and it's in your home. And if you are listening now, whether you are in Chico, whether you are in Salinas or Aptos or whatever you are listening today, or through the internet in Japan, my friends who are listening, if you want a Bible from us, you will get it free of charge. Donations of $1,000 or more are welcome. All right. Leviticus 19 and verse 3, page 78. I'm trying to see that word honor. And the Bible said, every one of you shall, the New King James Version, have this word, revere his mother and his father and keep his Sabbath. I am the Lord your God, like a signature. I'm the one who's speaking. You should revere your mother and father. I'm going to say it again. Because in America, if you're in a restaurant or something, and if you say to a child, quiet, and somebody can put you to jail for doing that. They don't want anymore to raise children. They want to raise animals, so do what you want. Revere your mother. So revere is another word for the word honor. You should revere. Now, those who are athletic and like a sport, You in America, you have your football and yours, this game with this little stuff that you do that. What do you call it? Baseball. All right. And you have good players over there. I can see you. The stadiums are full, 60, 70,000 people just to watch a guy with a little stick. And I tell you, some of these people, I saw people that want to exchange little cars. You know, they have a little car with a player, you know, the guy with the thing like this. And they pay a lot of money for that. You know, that revere those players. In the rest of the world, let's put it in this way, we revere soccer players, all right? Revere. You really, it's not just temporary. It's not between 1 and 18 that you revere your parents. Your parents are your parents for lifetime. And whether you are single, in home or out of home, you revere your parents. Now, how do you revere your mother and father? You know, as an engineer, always I have questions. How do you do this? All right, let's see it. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, page 388 in your Bible. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. How do you revere your father and mother? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Page 388. And look at what Solomon says. My son, he's talking to his son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. I wish that word law would translate it correctly, the counsel of your mother. Now, look at how simple. You revere your father and mother by hearing the instruction of your father. I don't know you and your experience, but I remember in my young life, my experience, my father will talk to me and I will keep doing something. And so that was disrespect. My father do not like that. If I'm talking to, see, I'm talking to you. Oh, yeah, and I keep doing something, you know, maybe nothing wrong, but I was doing a drafting or something. Say, let me talk to you. And yes, and I'm not looking to him. Now, that's I don't drop everything and say, yes, sir. No, that's just in my own world. So my father would say, hear me. And I said, oh, this is, yes, sir. Before something swings in your head. Now, hear your father. Hear. Not just said like I did, oh, yeah, And it's like saying, oh, come from here and go from here and go from the top. No, hear your father. I'm glad I have a son-in-law who hears his father. One of the greatest things that happened in my life is not so much my son-in-law, but his parents. You know why? Because they're strong parents, even though the man is 40 or 41. They're strong parents. And when something happened, they're there. I never remember, I always will remember the day of the wedding. We had two parties, one in the restaurant and the other in home. And in home, Mr. Lacey took Miriam apart and said, now you're going to know my son. If he's any trouble, and he was working for the secret, for Reagan at that time, in the administration of nuclear devices. He took his personal car and said, you call me and I'll be there right there to straighten my son up. When my daughter later on, years later, told me about it, I thank the Lord so well that there is a family who has raised a son correctly. And there is a son that respects their parents correctly. Hear the instruction of your father. And do not forsake the counsel of your mother. Not only do the things that you want to when your mother and you agree, but when you and your mother disagree, listen to your mother carefully and don't just take it for granted. Listen carefully to follow through. Wow. Wow. Revere. Now, in the New Testament, it's also something strong. If you go to 1 Timothy in chapter 5 in verse 4, page 700 in the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 5, and in verse 4, talking about widows, the Bible tells us as children our responsibility for our parents. But if any widow has children, 1 Timothy 5, verse 4, or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before the Lord. Wow! Grandchildren, listen to this. You repay your parents. When you are good and kind and gentle and generous to your grandparents, you are repaying your parents, and you are saying to God, that's good, that pleases me. That pleases me. Imagine that. If you are good to your parents and to your grandparents, that pleases me, said God. That pleases me. See, the family is very precious before God, because if you destroy the family, you destroy society. Many times, I'm told, well, you think in this way because you are Latin, and Latin people, they're all mama people, they're all family people. No, this is the Bible. It has nothing to do with Latin. It has to do with God. You are raised by your parents, and the meaning of the commandment is simply this. You need to communicate your faith through the example of your life. And the first example that you give to society is the respect for your parents. Is the respect for your parents. As I said before, I have been commended by the well behavior of our children in church. Already, you have given God the opportunity to be exalted because you behave correctly in the church service. One of the things that really encouraged me every Sunday is when the little ones, they stretch their hand like little people and they salute me and they said, Pastor. Many, many, many churches and many, many pastors do not have that privilege that a little child knows their name and knows that they are their pastor. And God said, this is the very beginning of society, the family, A husband and a wife, their children and their grandchildren and their grandparents. You see that, a family? So the meaning is this. If you want to communicate your faith well, you better have a family who worship the Lord and is under the discipline of the Lord. I know that will call the attention everywhere, because today children, they care less about their parents. And the reason is they are not so much guilty as their parents are guilty. I tell you, I raised only one child. It was the easiest job in my life. When I was a little tired, I gave a book to Miriam and said, read 30 pages. Yes, sir. Read 30 pages. You don't hear a noise. Now try with three grandchildren. It's a different story. But still, you have to create something so that they know that you put limits, that you put boundaries, that you guide them. Otherwise, they will not be good for society. The meaning of the commandment, faith is communicated through a family that revere themselves, that hear, children who hear their parents and who listen to the counsel of their mother. What is the interpretation of the commandment? Well, we don't, you know, I hold this rule so there is a safety. The New Testament is contained in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is explained in the New Testament. Now, Jesus explained this commandment in Matthew 15 and in verse 4. Matthew 15, the first book of the Bible in the New Testament. Matthew 15, verse 4, page 571. Matthew 15, verse 4, page 571. Jesus said these words as he interpreted the commandment, for God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. Wow! No, let him be put in a corner for 10 minutes. I have a grammar school. I say it. I was a talker in the school. Don't do that in your school. But I was a talker. Ta-ta-ta-ta. The teacher will say something and say, oh, I have a better idea. You know, they call my parents all the time because I talk all the time. So what was the penalty? You have to be there in the corner looking to the wall for 30 minutes. Today, I think the teacher will go to jail if they do that. But I tell you, I don't want that penalty because I don't like to talk to the wall. But in the Bible says that if you disregard the honoring of your parents, the punishment is dead. Do you see the importance of the family or not? Do you see that family is the key to society? Let me give you the background in Matthew chapter 15. We should read from verse 1 to 4 so that we have the background there. Let me read it for you. In Matthew 15, verse 1, they came to Jesus, scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem. These are the doctors of the law. Verse 2, why, they asked Jesus this question, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? See, if you live by tradition, you transgress the commandments of God. Why you do that? So you can see that the context of the commandment in Jesus' words is this. We need to obey God's law. And therefore, this commandment is not a suggestion, is not an option. It is a commandment. We need to honor our father and mother. And so the interpretation is this. The first duty of the Christian man and the Christian woman is to honor, to revere, to hear their parents. That is honorable before God. Doesn't matter your age. And when a couple... See, it happened in my life. My father passed away in 1967, 68. And my mother called and said, Daddy went home. Always at home, something like that. And then I knew that I had to assume the full responsibility to support my mother. And I had no rejection from my wife. we have to split our salary so that my mother would have a full salary like my father was alive and myself. And God provide long hours of work. I left 5 o'clock in the morning, came 10 o'clock in the night, and God provided every penny. And the neighbors where my mother lived, at 8,000 miles from here, the neighbors said, I wonder how Gabriel going to solve the problem of supporting his mother. See, over there we don't have social security and things like that. Nothing of social laws. The family support the family. And when my mother shared that we have put an automatic bank account where my mother can go and pick up their check every month in the Citibank in Argentina, one neighbor that my grandmother witnessed for 30 years and now is 90 years old came to know the Lord. She wrote me a letter and said, for 37 years your grandmother was telling me about God, but now I see God, she said. Parents, you are the key. Mama and Papa, you are the key of the gospel. You are the key of the gospel. Have you trained these children? And as your children repay your parents, as the Bible said, and as you honor your parents, you are preaching a powerful gospel that nobody can deny. They can argue about words, but they cannot argue about the facts that you love that family and the way God wants you to love it. If a society is going to continue to exist, its existence is hinged around the commandment, around this commandment. The first duty of man is this: honor, revere, hear your parents. That is the best law in society that we can have if we can survive. Now, how can we practice this commandment? How can we do it? Paul includes this commandment right after the instructions of marriage in the letter to the church of Ephesus. So let's turn over there. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, page 690. 690, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. It is surprising where things come in the Bible. In chapter 5 of Ephesians, God gave us instruction from verse 21 to the end about marriage and how we submit to each other, how the wife submit to the husband, how the husband love the wife, and blah, blah, blah. Talks everything about the wife. And then after he finished with the marriage, then Paul is follow the instructions with the home. Just like God. Look at what he says in verse 1. Children, obey. That's a word I never forgot in Greek. Apokouo. This is a funny word. It's walking. Apokouo is walking like this. See? Children, obey. Obey your parents in the Lord. And then Paul added, for this is right. Now, I don't care what anybody said. This is right. This is God's opinion. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. Now, you have to obey them when they are right. You have to obey them when they're wrong. You just obey them. Let me tell you, you don't have the same problems I had when I was a child, but I from early years, from 6, 7 years old, I want to play soccer. And so I have a schedule written by grandma in the kitchen and a blackboard. At this hour, you get up, it was 4:30. You cut the wood with her. We cut the wood to put for the kitchen. And then at this hour, you do this. At this hour, you do the other. And then I was looking at when I play soccer. And then from this hour, you play soccer. But I want to play all the time. And was not allowed. And I thought I was suffering. Obey your children, because obey your parents, because this is right. Look at verse 2. Honor your father and mother. You see it again? Honor, revere your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. that it may be well with you and you may live long on earth. Now, why is the home so important? Why? Because two reasons. Why is it, why God made press upon the home? Two reasons. Reason number one, it is in the home where children should hear the word of God. Turn your Bible back to the Old Testament and Deuteronomy chapter 6. So I'm going to read verse 6 and 7, page 121. Deuteronomy chapter 6. It is in the home, number one, reason why the home is so important for God is it is in the home the children need to hear the word of God. Look at what God said to Israel before he died. Moses speak, and he said, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." He's talking to the parents. And then look at what he says. "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you raise up." Period. It is not the church's duty, really, to start teaching to your children. The church will teach your children. But the first time your children need to hear the word of God is in home. Whether it's in a devotional way, whether it's the mother sitting with the daughter or the father looking a verse in the Bible with the child, it is in the home that you learn the scripture. I want to tell you, this happened in my life. Grandma was the one who read the Bible for me. Hours of reading the Bible. I hated every minute of it. Can you imagine 4 or 5 years old? And you know, those grandmothers, they have time, so they sit for an hour over there with a big Bible and then the guitar, and then she will chant and blah, 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 blah. And all the Old Testament, this guy did this, the other guy did the other, blah, blah. I said, oh, what? And chocolate was cooking. I said, oh, that will be finished, you know, and so on. And day by day, not knowing myself, that God was drilling into my heart a passion for the scripture. I mean, I have a passion for the scripture. My boss, who is no longer my boss in the radio, I met him on Thursday. And he said to me in my eyes, "I envy your passion for the scripture." Well, it doesn't happen like this. It happens when you parents drill into your children daily. It doesn't have to be an hour. Make it an hour and a half. Just slowly. All right? It's slowly. You just give the scripture to the children. And as soon as they can read, give them the King James Bible. They can read it. I've had young people here read the King James Bible without being afraid of. I tell you, this is what he says right here. "You shall teach them diligently to your children." Not just sloppy. No, the TV on. Just make a time. "And shall talk of them when you sit in the house or when you walk by the way." In my first church I pastored in the city of Newark, California, I never forgot a little boy who was curious about the, you know, boys develop a curiosity about life, and it's the gift that God praises it. And we have one who likes bags around here. I hope one day he becomes a biologist. But this boy developed ideas for the sun and the moon, and the father told him, "Well, here's the sun and the light, and the moon is God's flashlight for the night." And we were just finishing the service at 7:30, was a little light, the moon came in, and the little boy screamed, "God, turn on the flashlight!" I thought it was the first definition. I don't know how many TV stations I wrote saying, "This boy really understand God. God turns on the flashlight." Who told that boy this? Papa and mama. So point number one is parents. It is important. It is a necessity that you spend time with your children, whether 5 minutes, whether 10 minutes, with the Word of God. Secondly, it is the pastor credential. The home is the pastor credential. Doesn't matter how many doctor's degree you can have. You know, you can have a master in engineering, a doctor in psychology, and doctor in second language. What does that mean? That means you study, boom, 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 took an exam, nothing happened. But the credential of a pastor is not his diplomas or his licenses. The credential of a pastor is their home. Let me look in the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4, page 699. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4 and 5, page 699. That's the credential of a pastor. That's why a pastor needs to be married. He cannot be single. Look at what the Bible says. Talking about the pastor, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. Verse 5 now, for if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? If he is in a sloppy in taking care of his wife, if he is not careful in disciplining his children, he had no business in being a pastor. Doesn't matter how many degrees he had. That's what God said. So, my body of believers, how precious it is to know that this commandment is the preservation of our homes. And what Satan has done, Satan has produced divorce across America so their homes can be broken and our society will be in pieces soon. We don't need more classes in social behavior. We don't need psychologists. What we need is homes that fear God. That's what we need. And parents who take the time, and thank God that we are parents 20s and 30s and not 60s, because you get tired. Believe me, Anthony, you get tired. But I tell you, what a joy it is to know that when you raise those children, remember how David put it? He, in Psalm 127, he said, like, children's eyes are arrows, and whether if your child or your grandchild is an arrow in the hands of a mighty man. A mighty man means one who's sharp. And so when you train a child, you never know how God will use that child in the hands of God. I wrote this little thing in my Bible in reference to this commandment. Wise parents are those who knows their children. Wise parents are those who knows their children. Wise children are those who honor their parents. And if my mother was alive, I'd still be Cacho, the little boy, even though I'm 66. Wise society is the one who lives by God's word and not what government of men tell them. A wise society is a society that lives by God's word and not by what government of men tells them. Irritates me how Satan is so smart. Here we have a new candidate for government in the Republican Party in California. Don't worry, I'm not going to be a politician, but I'm going to tell you something. Not too long ago, the media made a big ball because the man was sitting with a preacher by the name Benny. I don't know if he was praying or whatever. He was sitting with a preacher. And the media said, this association is very bad. Rather than saying how wonderful this man feared God, he, whether the preacher is a denomination or the other, makes no difference. If he's a priest or a preacher, how wonderful if a candidate to be a president is going to pray with somebody, whether in this church or the other, I applaud that. No, the media said, this is terrible. And the media said, it's terrible because this preacher of this denomination, of this belief, will influence the man. Yes, sir, will influence the man. You read the Word of God, and if the Word of God do not influence your life, you're an unbeliever. The Word of God should change us around. And the media said, that is very wrong. And this morning, my Bernie was not on the line. There was a lawyer that I know, a woman. And I was here blowing here around. And she's saying, how terrible it is. So I call and I get in. What a blessing. And I said, my darling, what's the name of your father? He says, what's the name of your grandfather? What's the name of your great-grandfather and what he did in life? She said, I don't know. Is that your problem? Your problem is you have been not raised under the fear of God.
So leave us alone and go to a country that fear no God, because in this country we fear God. And she said, you must be a preacher. That doesn't make a difference. Oh, you must be a preacher. And preachers are afraid that they will cut your salary. Oh, how terrible. What the salary has to do with society? See, the unbelievers are desperate when you touch the very root of the problem. And the root of the problem is, let us Christians raise Christian homes so that our future will be in the hands of God. The army had nothing to do. The navy has nothing to do. The air force has nothing to do with our protection. You are the protection of America. You, mama and father, in your hours of labors and your tiredness at bed is not in vain, because God is going to use your children for the glory of God. To him be praise. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that in this time in which we live, you have given us simple and marvelous instructions that will develop a nation to the highest degree of service, because homes are important for you. Speak to your children today, Lord, that they may honor, revere, hear, and follow the counsel of their parents. And Father, encourage parents today. Give them a strength when they don't have it. Give them hope when they are tired. And give them the joy of serving you, because the Bible said the joy of the Lord is our strength. We love you, Father, for the instruction, and we pray that this instruction will produce the fruit of God and the life of the people of God. In Jesus we praise your name. Amen. Before a prayer today, we're going to do something very special. We're going to ask the Withmeyer to come here, even though they have children who are sleeping. But Bob and Carol, come right here. to the front, all right? And so, muchachos, wake up. All right. All right. And Bob and Carol came to our church when we were in the bank. Is that right, Bob? And so that's about 18 years or so ago. And now they decided to move temporarily to Eureka until they come back. But that's north from us. And we are grateful. We are grateful because Bob has been consistent and faithful to this pastor and to this church. And I'm extremely, extremely grateful. So here is a present from my church. So you remember us that we love you. All right? Okay. All right.
Thank you, Pastor. We love you very much.
Now we have prepared.